In the name of the one holy and living God, amen. Please be seated. Well, friends, I'm not going to lie. This is a particular favorite Sunday for me in the course of any given church year because it is Good Shepherd Sunday, and I am especially qualified to preach today, having been raised on a sheep farm. For about 10 years, my family raised sheep in southern Minnesota. The lambs were born each spring, and the shearer would come, and we got to name all the lambs according to themes. The best year, of course, was when the lambs born before Easter were named Old Testament names, and the lambs born after Easter were named New Testament names. We were a church nerdy people. Particularly my mom, who has been a deacon ordained in the church since 1986, and for quite a while was the primary shepherd of our sheep. Our sheep, as I understand many are, were a bit notorious for escaping their sheepfold and often ended up on the front lawn of our house. We would hear the bleating a little closer than it should be, and as kids, we would all climb up on the back of the couch to look out the picture window, and there they all were, looking almost as startled to be there as we were to find them there. My mother learned quickly that trying to herd or chase them back to where they belonged wouldn't work. Instead, she would heave this great sigh and then go out the front door, and she would call them. And they would hear her voice, and they would follow her back to where they belonged, safe and sound behind their gate until, of course, the next time. So when Jesus talks about this shepherding today, it resonates deeply with me. Now, a little church data for you as well. This fourth Sunday in Easter is indeed informally called Good Shepherd Sunday. You won't see it listed that way in official documents, really, but every year, no matter what lectionary year we're in, this will be the theme. Every year on this Sunday, we will say the 23rd Psalm. And if I'm in charge, we'll do it in the King James Version, because that's often just right in my mind. And we'll also have a portion of John's Gospel, chapter 10. In year A, we hear verses 1 through 10 of that chapter. This year, we're in year B, so we're hearing verses 11 to 18. Next year, we'll hear verses 22 to 30, all referencing and discussing this imagery of Jesus being the shepherd. The more you know, right? So I tell you all of this because this reference to Jesus as shepherd is one of the most prominent imageries we use in Christianity, right? There's a million paintings and sculptures and all sorts of artistic renderings that show Jesus acting as the shepherd for the sheep, tending his flock with gentle care. And ultimately, laying his life on the line for the sheep, as a good shepherd would do, to protect them from, in this portion of the scripture, the wolves who threaten the flock. Jesus makes the distinction today between a hired hand trying to protect the sheep and the shepherd themselves trying to protect the sheep. Makes it clear that someone just hired to care for them cannot love and care for the sheep as much as the shepherd. They will run away at a threat, but the good shepherd will not run away. He knows his own, and his own know him. They belong to each other in a very particular way. And just as the sheep on my childhood farm knew my mother's voice and could follow her, we too can follow when we hear Jesus' voice. We know that with him, we will be safe. The problem we most often encounter, though, it feels, is that there's many out there who might sell themselves as being the shepherd, right, as the way to follow instead of Jesus. And there's many who would like to claim his authority for their own purposes. And it doesn't necessarily feel like it's much of an attempt to protect the sheep in their care as much as it seems to be a desire to get as many sheep under their control as possible. It's a slippery slope. that we're seeing across our nation and our world right now, many who are power hungry or money hungry and not concerned about the true well-being of the whole flock, which is, of course, all people dispersed throughout the world. And then we also see people, members of the flock, who are afraid and are hurting, who are desperate for safety and therefore are desperate for answers, clear answers, pat answers. And so they follow these hired hands who sort of sell us these promises of easy answers. They're not the shepherd, but those clear answers seem so appealing and like they're so easy that we follow, and we just kind of push those regular fears back to the back of our minds. We can distract ourselves from fear if we just do these things that the hired hand says to do. But that's not the relationship that will endure. The hired hands will leave us to fend for ourselves as soon as they're done profiting off of us. But Jesus, the shepherd, will not leave us alone. In fact, our shepherd would die for us so that we can live. Friends, we cannot avoid the dark and difficult parts of the world. And we've all been given these extraordinary distractions to pull our attention, but we know, don't we? We know that the hard parts remain, that there's still people suffering, and that there's still work to do, because that's what it is to be human in this world. Our faith is not just a sweet pastoral scene with Jesus with his nice little sheep. It's truly following where he leads. It's truly trusting his voice, going where he would take us. And going where he takes us means going to the hungry and the hurting, going to the persecuted and the sick, to the widow and the orphan, to the stranger, to the prisoner. It means finding ways to look up from the distractions, finding ways to avoid those hired hands who are just in it for themselves, and take action to help and serve others in the flock. That's what one united sheepfold under Jesus can mean. Of course, the question is, how? How? We all know we want to be helpers. Jesus has made us to be. But the how, when the world is so loud and demanding, is always the central question. And I think maybe it wants to be found in getting centered again and again in who God is, what God hopes for us, and remembering that we are not in this hard stuff alone. Which brings us back to the psalm today. There's a reason, isn't there, that this psalm is so widely known, so famously known? It's because in a few short lines, we hear this declaration of God's power, the way God makes safety and new life for us. We hear an acknowledgement of the challenges and threats of the world, and a celebration that we do not have to suffer these challenges on our own because we are God's. We know the words, don't we, in the Old English? And there's so many other translations of it, but this is the one that's sort of in our bones. And so even the choir sang it so beautifully, thank you. I want to invite us to take our bulletins out because we're going to say it together. Some of you might even know it by heart, so you don't even need the bulletin. And so we say together, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Friends, the how do we really follow is in the remembering of these words and others like them, to remember our purpose and our hope. When we do that, the how that makes the most sense for each of us will be revealed. And we need that how to look multifaceted and diverse, because the world has a whole host of problems and it needs all of our creative energy and all of our diverse ideas and offerings to help make those things better, to help unite us one to another. So where are you called? Where are you called to help serve so that you can be following him in the way given for you? Because make no mistake, the Good Shepherd has put a heart in you to love and serve. You are meant for it. So in the following, in the remembering, you will find the path meant for you. And it'll cut right through the distractions. It'll walk right past those hired hands because it'll be so focused on following Jesus's voice that we cannot be swayed. And so on those days when it's the hardest and the distracting voices are the loudest, we remind ourselves, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, which means I shall not want. I shall not want for anything when I follow him. I will be provided everything I need to do what I've been given to do to help the world. So listen for his voice and follow. Amen.